And hallelujah, hallelujah. Boy, it is hot in here. And I'm sure if Michael was up here, we would be singing. It must be Jesus in the atmosphere. Saints, you all have a sermon outline to follow up along with me today. And read with me during parts of scripture or something like that when I point it out to you. Saints, what is the title of our message today? That's right. The Jesus, the get up of all get up, saints. We have spent the last 6 weeks in a sermon series called what? They Got Up. And we have been talking over and over again that when life keeps trying to knock us down, when something doesn't work, what are we supposed to do? Get up. When life knocks you down, get up. When family knocks you down, get up. When your job keeps knocking you down, get up. When money keeps knocking you down, get up. When all the sins and all the drama knock us down, get up. When Satan knocks us down, get up. I like that. They're doing again in the back. They saying again. That's right. Because sometimes we do have to get up again. Maybe that's be next our next sermon series, Get Up Again. But saints, we have been learning about some folks in the Bible, Hannah, Joseph, Rahab, Paul, and the Samaritan woman, that all had to get up when they were knocked down. Amen? Saints, there is one thing. We have talked about many different things throughout this last 6 weeks, money and drugs, temptation, sex, all these things that keep knocking us down. But there is one struggle, saints, that most of us, when this struggle comes into our lives, it completely knocks the wind out of ourselves. When this one event happens to us, we are completely knocked down, and we feel as if there is no hope. Every single one of us will have this one problem, this one situation, and none of us can avoid it. And that situation is death. Every time death encounters our lives, every single one of us feel like we couldn't possibly get up from this. We cannot possibly get up. Is it any person in here? I'm actually putting my hand down. But is it any person in here that has not experienced the loss of someone through death? Anybody? One person? Nobody? Okay, so we all equal, right? Every single one of us has lost somebody in our lives that we love and we love deeply. We have lost parents, grandparents, children, aunts and uncles, nieces and nephews, cousins, friends, husbands and wives, sisters and brothers. We have lost them all. Every single one of us in here have experienced the pain and sadness of hearing those words that we never, ever want to hear. He is gone. I am sorry. She is gone. I am sorry. We don't want to hear those words, right? When we hear words like that, saints, we are taken to the bottom of the pit so low that getting up seems all but impossible. Sometimes, saints, I have known for myself and I've watched it in others, when we lose a loved one, just getting your feet out of the bed in the morning feels like it weighs a ton. Just lifting yourself up and saying, Lord, I can go through this day seems utterly impossible. It is the most difficult task in the world to lose someone that we love. And out of all the things that we've talked about, being knocked down, having difficulties with money, difficulties with drugs, difficulties with sex, temptations, jobs, family, friends, losing your life or losing the life of someone that you love is probably the most difficult situation to try to get up from. How do we get up from that? I mean, saints, if we think about this, what human, and let's think real long and far, what human can conquer death? each one of us, and raise your hand if you're in here, because we all want to know who you are. Which one of us can bring back someone from death to life? And I'm not just talking about for a little bit of time, couple weeks, you know, get somebody on oxygen support, give them some oxygen, some CPR or something like that, some medication or something like that. I'm not talking about temporarily extending someone's life. I'm talking about you bring them back to life and they stay alive forever. Anybody can do that. Come on up, because we all want to see you. Says there is one thing that all humans, all religions, and all philosophies can all agree on. And that is, when we human beings die, we die. We are dead. That moment when all of us go like this, that is it. We all will take that last breath, our heart will stop beating, and we will die. We all agree on that moment of death. None of us are unsure about that. When you die, you die. Okay? What happens next is where we all disagree at. What happens after you go? You just hold your breath? What happens next is what we all differ on. What happens next will determine who you are and what you believe. All of us want to know, saints, what happens when you die? What happens when we die? That is the single question that every single human that has ever walked the face of this earth has grappled with and asked. Where do we go when we die? What is it that we're going to be doing when we die? Who are you going to be hanging around with when you die? Is death painful? What is it like? Does it feel like you're being tickled? What does it feel like when we die? What happens? You know, saints, I tried to do some real careful research with this sermon, because some of these points I just didn't want to get wrong. Didn't want to be up here looking foolish. Well, I didn't. Y'all know y'all come up to me after sermons and say, Pastor Kelly, that wasn't necessarily right. But I didn't want to get this point wrong. There have been millions, billions, saints, of people that have lived on this earth. Think about it. Not just who's here right now. Since the very beginning of time, there have been billions of people that have lived on this earth. We have all eaten. We have all gone to sleep. We all have loved somebody. We all have lost somebody. We all have had disappointments and setbacks. Many of us have had successes and failures. But when you think back to the very first person that lived on this earth millions and millions of years ago, if you go by, you know, what the scientists say instead of Adam and Eve in the Bible, there is only one person out of all the millions of humanity. There is only one person that we can think of, just one, that made this specific claim. Now, I really had to look, y'all. I searched the internet, went to the library. I wanted to make sure nobody else had said this. Only one person has made this claim. Nobody since, nobody after. One person made this claim, and it goes like this. I was crucified. I was buried. I was raised on the third day, and I am seated on the right hand of God. Think real hard, saints. Anybody else in entire humanity ever said those words? Now, we have had some sightings, saints, of some people who died. Y'all know we've had some sightings. Elvis is always in the building. Please, let's leave Michael Jackson dead. But Elvis, along with the other culprit group of superstars, you know, they hiding behind bushes. They walking in the grocery store with these hats on, trying not to be seen, because they dead. They running around in people's backyards, all in the desire to have a normal life so that they can go to Disney World. Saints, but these folks did not make the claim that the one that I'm talking about made. And as much as we want to believe they're running around in backyards and grocery stores or funny caps on, none of them have said, I was crucified, I was then buried, then I was raised on the third day, and now I'm seated on the right hand of God. You know, Elvis is still in the grocery store, saints. Oh, Tupac is in the grocery store with him. Tupac, all of them in the grocery store. Biggie. Every human being that has ever lived on this earth, that ever entered into this world, has died. Every single one of them. Even the religious leaders. Now, you would think Buddha, you know, he keeps reincarnated. He dies and comes back. He dies and comes back again. You would think that being the leader of this organization, eventually he would figure it out and figure out how to get to the right hand of God. But he's still going over and over again. Read this statement with me about Buddha. The Buddha died of old age when he was 80 years old. The death was triggered by his body reaction to a dish of wild mushroom. He died peacefully and mindfully. Okay. So we all clear on that. Buddha died after he ate some wild mushrooms. Okay. He was 80 years old. Real clear on that. The Dalai Lama was reincarnated 14 times. But each time, he died. They didn't say he rose again. He died. Let's look at Muhammad. A Jewish woman prepared a dinner for Muhammad, and some of his men, unknown to the Muslims, was that she had put a poison into the lamb, some say goat, that was served at dinner. Muhammad ate some of the poisoned lamb and died as a result 3 years later. Okay, so they tried to keep him alive. They knew he had eaten that poison. You know, they had a little bit of medicine back in the day. They hooked him up, strung him along 3 years, but he died. Let's look at Confucius. Instead, he spent the rest of his years teaching and finally writing. He died at 72. After Confucius died, he was buried in a grave in the city of Chufu, Shandong. All right. Now, saints, where is that at? I don't know, Mary, but it's somewhere. Somewhere in China. Now, saints, all of these different religions had the same opportunity that the Christians had. You see, if you believe that Jesus Christ is a lie and that Christians are telling this good old lie so we can make some money that we don't still know where it's at. If you believe that Christianity is a lie, you see, the Muslims could have told the same lie. The Buddhists could have told the same lie. All of them could have told the same lie. But none of them did. They had religious leaders who were considered very powerful, very meaningful. But when their leaders died, they died. They didn't have any stories about Buddha coming back. Well, he came back, but he was reincarnated in somebody else. He was still in a human body. But they didn't have any stories about their leaders coming back. You see, saints, there is only one that has stated the following. Only one that said, I was tortured, beaten, mutilated, hung on the cross, died. And to make matters worse, y'all, after he died, like death wasn't good enough, they took a sword and stabbed it up his side. Stabbed it right into him. Did you ever notice that no one doubts the death of Christ? Go to work, ask your friends. Do you believe Jesus died? Yeah. Everybody gonna say, yeah, if he was born, he died, right? No one of no religions, every one of them, Jesus died. Complete agreement. Nobody disagrees on that part. They're also in agreement. And if you look at the four Gospels, and I say them because the kids are present and they're learning the books of the Bible, which are Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, right? The Gospels, four Gospels. The four Gospels are similar in many ways. Now, there are some things that are very different about them, but some things they say exactly alike. They all agree that Jesus was buried. And he wasn't just buried in the old place. He was buried in a tomb. Now, they could have said Jesus was buried in a nice mausoleum. You know, the mausoleum's like an evergreen. Nice mausoleum. You go up and put your faceplate with your picture on the front, stick a flower in it. They could have said Jesus was born in a standing glass figurine that, you know, he was buried there and we could go see him right now. But all the Gospels say the same thing. He was buried in a tomb. Now, when Jesus was put in his tomb, you would think that being in the tomb was enough, right? But they just didn't put him in a tomb. They took this huge, gigantic boulder, stone, and placed it in front of the tomb. A big stone, like he was going anywhere. Every one of the Gospels talks about this stone. Every single one talks about the stone. And this just wasn't a little bitty stone. It wasn't a little pebble or a rock. This was a huge stone that they placed in front of this tomb. Not only did they put the stone in front of the tomb, they put two Roman guards out there. Now, Saints, how many of you been to funerals? How many guards you see out there? Any Cleveland police officers waiting around hanging on the wings? You know, we see the body get buried. Some of us families, you know, when we grieving and it's pretty bad, we got to stay and see the casket go down. So we watch it go down, but then what do we all do? We leave and go home. There's nobody standing there guarding the tomb. Why would there be? Why would there be? Why was the guard standing there guarding the tomb? Well, who was going anywhere? He dead, right? Where was he going? Saints, here was this big stone in front of this tomb, keeping Jesus in. Now, let me ask you. We all have seen the Passion of Christ. We all know the story. Here he was. On his way, before he even got on the cross, they already had beat him down. Remember that? They had beat him down, beat his body down. Then they had put that crown of thorns on his head. Remember that? Then he had to carry that cross all the way up to his own heel to hang himself, right? To put himself on the cross. He had a little help. He was physically beaten up. Then they get him on the cross, and they pound the nails in his hand. Then they pound the nails in his feet. Then after all of that, okay, Jesus, you just really couldn't die here. After all of that, they take the sword and jab it right up into his side. Talk about pressed down. Talk about beaten down, dragged down. And then after all of that, they take a big stone and put it right there in front of him. Where was he going after all that? How was he getting up? Where was he going? You're going to put a big stone right on top of him. Isn't that how life is? You already pressed down. You already beaten down. You already hurting. Things already bad. And then life comes along and places a big stone right on top of you to keep you where you are. You're not going nowhere. You stand right there beaten up, downcast, and alone. That was where Jesus was. Let me ask you, Saints. Every story tells you about the tomb. Then they tell you about the stone. Then they tell you the stone was moved. Who moved the stone? You think they had a big tractor trailer truck or something back there? You know, they said there was a couple Roman guards around there. Now, I don't see some big police officers, some big military men, but I have yet to see something big enough to move this big boulder of a stone. How did they get the stone out of place? Who moved it? Who helped out? Did they have some kind of pulley system rigged up, some strings pulling it along? How did they get it away? Who moved the stone? Saints, we have some things in this story that we really need to think about. They all talk about a tomb. They all talk about a stone. Then they all talk about 3 days. They say, in 3 days, I will rise from the dead. Ever wonder why three? Why not a week? Give him a week. He got to do some healing after all that beating down he don't got. Why not a month? Go to rehab. Why the number three? Why three? Saints, Jesus was trying to help us to see something. He was trying to help us to see something called the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, trying to get our attention, trying to let us know something. But we can't get that far ahead yet, because we still got to figure out how this Jesus got up. We already said that he was dead, right? We already said that he was badly beaten, right? We already said that he was stabbed even after he was dead. Now, I know something about stabbing, saints, and some readings told me that when he got stabbed in the side, it probably collapsed his lungs. So even if he had an inkling of still being alive, when they stabbed him, it probably collapsed his lungs. And I know something a little personal about that, saints, because back in my day when I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing, I was stabbed. And I got a scar to prove it. I carry it with me all the time because it's my witness that Jesus kept me alive. But it was this butcher knife and only the tip. Now, the knife was about that long from my memory. Might have been that long. But only the tip went inside of my chest. And that little tip collapsed my lungs. And I was in the hospital 3 days. 3 days. So Jesus, with his body beaten, his collapsed lungs, how in the world did he drag himself out of this tomb? You know, how did he do this? How did he drag himself? Did he pull himself along and say, I'm coming. I'm coming, disciples. Here I come. Did he have some paramedics? Some good old antibiotics to help him out? You know, after all those wounds, y'all, he had, all of us know, you can't get a paper cut without taking penicillin. Did he have some antibiotics? He might have had the world-class care of the Cleveland Clinic to help him out. Who was with Jesus when he was out in this desert, you guys? This was the dark, lonely tomb. It was probably dirty, probably a bunch of bugs, probably all this stuff that did not need to be in his wounds, but he got up. How in the world did Jesus get up? And not only did he get up, saints, it tells us that he walked around. Walked around. Then it went on and said, he ate. He had a meal. And not just any meal. You see, when we're sick, we go get our soup and our tea, and somebody left some good old apple cinnamon tea here at the church. Go get our crackers because our stomach is like, we can't take nothing heavy. But Jesus had fish. And I would think fish would be pretty heavy on the stomach if you're sick and not feeling well, especially if you're like me and you like fried catfish. Don't want to be eating no fish. So here's Jesus. He gets up and he eats. He walks around with the disciples and he says to them, he goes up to Thomas and he says, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. How did Jesus have received that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. Listen in this one. He says he appeared to more than 500 men and women. And then Paul went on to say, some of them are still alive. Paul said, you don't just have to ask me if I had this experience. The disciples say, you don't just have to ask me. Go ask all those other people out there. They saw the same things I saw. They were there. How did he do all these things? If he was crucified, if he was dead, how did he somehow get up, walk around, talk to people, let them touch him on his hands, let them feel him on his side, have a meal with them? How did he take it one step further, saints? He said, come on, because now I'm ready to bless you. He said, now I'm ready to bless you. Come on over here to Bethany with me and watch me go up to heaven. And it wasn't just one or two people standing there watching Jesus go up to heaven. It was hundreds of people watching him go up to heaven. How did Jesus do this? How did he get up? His body was bruised and broken. He was hurting. He had been crucified, dead, and buried. How did he get up? Saints, I want to tell you that Jesus had the get up of all get ups. And there are only two words that can tell us how he got up. Only God. Only God. Only God, saints. For you see, there is no other God. No other God in all of creation, not one single one that has made the claim that he has been murdered, crucified, dead, and buried, and then he got up. Our God is the God who got up. Our God got up. Nobody else's God got up. Our God got up. That is what the good news is, saints. We got the good news. Our God got up. He didn't say now. He's not buried in some cave in China in some burial because he ate wild mushrooms. He got up. He got up, saints. That is what makes our God so unique. So different. Our God went out. He revealed himself to the Jews. They didn't get it. He then went out to the Gentiles and we got it. But he's still trying to tell you something. He's still trying to show all of us that he got up. He got up. He got up, saints. And that is why all of us can get up. Two most important details, saints, for all of us. He died for us. And then he got up for us. He died for you. Then he got up for you. He died and then he got up so you can get up. So you can get up. You can get up. Because Jesus got up. Look at this scripture from 2 Corinthians saying we're wrapping it up. But it says, because we know that the one who was raised, the Lord Jesus from the dead, will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. Saints, nobody can keep you down. Nobody can keep you down. Nothing in this world can keep you down. I don't care how many drugs you've been on. I don't care how many bottles of alcohol you got in your house. I don't care how bad your family is. I don't care if you don't got two dimes to rub together today. Nothing can keep you down. Because God is raising you up. Nothing can stop you. When those men were laid off flat on the floor, they got up. They got up, saints. Saints, let me tell you. I said nothing can keep you down, but that's not 100% true. There is one thing that can keep you down, and that is you. That is you. You can keep you down. You can keep saying you're going to struggle. You can keep dealing with disappointments and hardships. You can keep staying away from Jesus. That will keep you down. You can keep pretending that you don't know this God, the only one who did the most amazing feat in all of humanity. You can keep pretending you don't know him, but he's there. He's waiting for you. You see, saints, our God got up. And that's what makes him different. And I know you're probably sitting there thinking, well, Pastor Kelly, what about everybody's God? And you're saying that he's not going to, everybody else won't make it and all this stuff. I know your pains. I know what you're saying. But let me tell you something, saints. Christians have too long been hiding. We have shied away from the truth. We are afraid to speak boldly for our Jesus. But Jesus is saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I didn't make it up. I didn't write it. Jesus wrote it. I just believe in it. I just believe in it. He's the only God that got up. He is the only one. And so that means that some people will go to heaven. That also means that some people will go to hell and they don't have to, but it means that. I didn't make up the rules. I'm just trying to put the truth out there so we cannot be misunderstanding that Jesus got up, saints. He got up. So, saints, I'm going to ask you today, are you going to still be held down and pressed down and kept down by this world? Are you going to continue to let all your circumstances keep you down? Are you going to continue to believe that that one that you love, that you lost, that you're never going to see them again? Saints, it's time to get up. Jesus is waiting for all of us. He's waiting for you to turn your life around and to believe in him, because not only did he get up, he's ready to come back. He's ready to come back. Thank you, Jesus. So, saints, I'm praying today that this is the day. This is the day. Tomorrow is gone, and yesterday is gone, and tomorrow is not here yet. Today is the day that you make the decision for Jesus Christ. Today is that day. No other day matters. Today is the day that you are forever changed, saints. So let us pray. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, you are so amazing. And you were the only one. You are the only one, Lord, who has ever done all that you have done exactly as you said you would do it. You foretold in your scripture that you were going to come. Then you foretold that you were going to be crucified and beaten. Then you said you were going to be hung on that cross. Then you said in 3 days, 3 days you were going to be raised. Lord Jesus, you also promised us that you were going to come back for each and every one of us. So, Lord, I'm praying that all of us would open our eyes, really, really open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts to know your truth, to receive your truth in our lives, Jesus Christ. We're praying for those that are still doubting. Help us not to doubt anymore. Help us not to reach out to brothers and sisters, Lord, who don't know you, who are lost and alone, and who need the truth in their lives. Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. And it's in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen. Saints, the door.